Hello and welcome to Awakenings. That was a bit of Breathe by Urban Myth Club. So I hope you all are taking a wonderful deep breath in and preparing for a great program today. I'm your host, Michelle Mache, and also, as I like to say, your co-pilot. I want to welcome all of you to the program, and also welcome all of you that are listening live via Cosmic Dimensions as well, and those that will be listening later in the archives and other podcast stations. It's great to be here. Happy Friday, and happy Valentine's Month. I'm extending the Valentine's to the whole month. I think we need to do that. One day is just not enough to celebrate love, that we are love and loved. Today we have a really great program, like I began to say, with Denise Lisconso. She'll be calling in a little bit later and talking to her about growing up as a psychic medium. She's also the author of The Messenger. So we'll be diving into that realm for today. I already have some questions on that as well, so we'll be getting to that. Speaking of questions, if you have questions or comments or you want to be heard, you want your voice heard, just call in at 347-539-5122 and just press number 1 on the keypad, and that'll alert me that you have a question or a comment. Because you can also listen. Many people listen via phone while they're driving around or doing errands or what have you at work as well, and it is the same call-in number. So I'll know to pick up on the switchboard if you alert me by pressing star 1. Again, the number is 347-539-5122. And then, of course, to listen via chat, all you need to do is just listen or click to listen. Or you can actually be in the chat room as a guest. If you would like to interact or have questions or comments that you want to be seen in the chat room, all you need to do is simply register by giving Blog Talk Radio, just filling out name and email, and that will get you interacting that way. And for some reason, if you've just tuned in to Awakenings, maybe you've just been surfing through the net or searching through Blog Talk Radio and you have landed here, I want to tell you a little bit about Awakenings. Here it's an interactive live radio program, and we host every Wednesday and Friday here. I'm just really holding the space here. Every Wednesday and Friday, 12 p.m. Pacific. And we focus on grounding the spiritual process of awakening. And we look at the succession of awakenings, not just one awakening, but how the succession of awakenings that allow one to become more awake, more aware. We highlight here conscious living for conscious lives. It's a place for conversations with artists, musicians, spiritual teachers, authors, just people of all walks of life that are progressive thinkers in their own fields that are waking up, are awake or awakening more and revealing and reflecting their awakening through their way of being in the world. Awakenings also is a timely relaying of essential information, insights, and inspirational tools for transformation and spiritual unfoldment. So we like to be a bit of a resource place there. And there's wonderful resources as well in the chat room, also known as a sacred space of empowerment. You can get some wonderful insights and connecting there. You can also connect further on our Facebook page, Awakenings Radio, on Facebook, and then also via awakenings@selfandlight.com if you want any more information. Also more guest information as well if you want to submit guests. I really don't look at the Blog Talk Radio messages as much. We do look here and there, mainly Linda does. So the best way really is to either email linda@selfandlight.com or awakenings@selfandlight.com. Either one of those will get you to the right place. And I also want to, I was going through some of my emails. I've got, over time, get quite a bit of emails with people with comments and suggestions and feedback and wonderful, heartfelt also appreciation for the program, and a lot of listeners that listen to the archives later. You know who you are, so if you're listening now, I just want to put out a wonderful ray of appreciation and love to all of you for the feedback. that we've been getting, and some of it that you even when we're doing the transmission work, that you're feeling that energy. Some of you that's been in the chat, some of them has been in the chat room. Somebody was saying that they had felt tingling in their head and then their feet, and then later I was talking about that you might feel a tingling, I'm going to do it right now, tingling presence. So, and then a couple people emailing that they're learning a lot and that getting a lot of questions answered, and they like when, you know, we answer questions or clarify the path a bit more. And some people that it's been quite a bit of a lifeline. So, and we will be doing more of that. I did get probably not hundreds, but about 10 different emails, I guess, about doing more of the question and answer and focusing more of the progression of the path. And so I do have some of that coming up. And the 24th, I'll be doing some of that as well as readings, psychic readings and tuning in for people. So bring your questions or email me. That's fine, too, awakenings@selfandlight.com, and then I'll get them. Some are sending them to Michelle@selfandlight.com. Whatever. I end up getting it. But sometimes I get it later than if it's sent to the Awakenings, but I will get your feedback. And I do want to thank also there's been some just wonderful people holding the space. Kirk, also I saw you email to you. I'll get back to you as well. And Light and Tammy also for always. And Sylvia, are you in the chat yet? But Facebooking and tweeting the show, I really appreciate it. Putting links in. I see these things, and I really appreciate it. I want to thank Linda also, who's really been holding the sacred space of Awakenings with the guest relations. That's not always easy. Not going to be naming names here, but people, you know, forget to email or confirm or back and forth or don't have the number or forget the number or the date or behind the scenes. Sometimes people don't call or calling late or forget the number, and I'm emailing back and forth, and Linda's trying to email them and then email me. So if you ever, here's a little thing just between you and I, just between us, those of you that are listening right now. When you hear my speech pattern, a little that little stop and go, it's usually because something is going on behind the scenes, like the guest isn't showing up and I don't know what's going on, or sometimes it's you know, technical, but usually it's something going on about the timing and the guest and or somebody's calling me. Sometimes people don't realize they'll call me, my business line, to ask questions. They're not quite sure. So sometimes I'll see that, and I'll be picking up that as well. So just want to thank Linda and also Lynn, and then Jen, who's also been really holding some sacred space as well. So all of these people, Josie and also Stephen, have been really helping keeping me afloat and keeping the Self and Light and Awakenings flowing, I guess. So I want to just give my heartfelt appreciation to all those people and all of you listeners. And Tammy's putting you multitask very well, Michelle. Yeah, I do. I always say this was my dream, you know, living. From my earliest recollection, age 4, living as a multidimensional being, simultaneous, aware of different lives and kind of things, being in conversations, even as a teenager, and then seeing something around that person or having a flash of knowing that person another time and then knowing what's going to happen, having a flash of insight of something that's going to happen. To me, it's kind of this whole connecting, especially with the stream of Twitter, and Chad's in the show, so hello, Chad. He can also put something of that in the chat room. It is this whole out-picturing of how we really live. So I think there's going to be more of that, definitely going to be more of this. I wanted to address also, we had a question in the chat from Light was asking earlier about, and I said I would touch on it before our guest calls in. Something is bothering. How do you know if someone is claiming spiritual gifts is real? shined a light on someone and didn't like what I saw. Yeah. You know, it's like everything else. And I learned this a long time ago from really great teachers. It's just like having a psychic ability or being a channel or a medium, or it's just like anything else. A painter, an actor, a plumber. I'm sure some of you go, wow, there's some great plumbers. There's some great designers. There's some great architects. It's a little less common, obviously, as a gift, similar to, I always look at it as, you know, maybe a great, you know, a painter, author, or writer. You know, it is called arts, you know, the healing arts. So it may not be as mundane looking in a sense yet. That's changing. It's been changing over the years and changing as we speak. The sixth sense everybody has, so that's one thing, and it just comes through. Some people block it, but it just comes through right in various forms. Some people get an inner knowing, a feeling, a gut knowing. Some people hear something. Some people smell, trigger something. So just it comes through different representational systems of the sensory perception. But it's like anything else. Some people are going to be more ethical or clearer, more accurate, especially the more emotionally clear they are, that emotional clearing. So you have to trust your own inner knowing. You have to trust your own, in a way, psychic ability or develop that or have some confirmations. Jamie's saying, I get an inner knowing in the chat. And Tammy, I always trust your intuition. Yeah, like be a little skeptical. Yeah, yeah. You know, and sometimes people are off. They're not, it's not, nothing is 100% in this world. You know, there's an average. I mean, you want somebody at least in the 90 plus percentile. But, you know, again, just like anything else. So I think not to be appreciative of it, but if you are sensing something light, like you were putting in the chat, then it's to just, you know, trust that. You know, and see that person as assisting or helping, but not having all the power. You know, retain your empowerment, retain your connection to your inner knowing. And because, you know, it keeps you in that place of empowerment. And that's what we want. But very good question. You know, and sometimes you'll be surprised. You may know something. You may see something. You know, we all have wounds. It's just some people live by the wounds. They haven't handled their wounds or healed their wounds and gotten the gift from the wound. So if someone is living out their wound, they're not going to be as clear. There might be different motives. And again, also different people resonate for different people. Not everybody is a match to work with. And there's many ways to look at that as well. Astrologically, is it a connection? You know, or just on a feeling level, is this person right for me? You know, so I like Tammy said, yeah, just some healthy skepticism. Use your noggin, trust your intuition, your insight, your gut knowing, and sometimes maybe there's something there for you to learn, so you also get a feeling about something. So you sometimes just have to feel the feeling, acknowledge it, file it somewhere, and say, I'm just going to hold out on that. I'm just going to see what unfolds here, and then give it time. And sometimes that time is just a flash. You get the confirmation right then and there. So let's see, somebody put light. When it becomes so much about the person's large ego, I start to suspect deception. Well, yeah. So maybe your tuner was on. You were beeping. I always call it beeping on something. Then you've got to trust that. And that's what we're about here, is the trust, empowering each other and ourselves to trust what we're receiving, you know. So I think that sounds like what you were doing. And you shine some light. Sometimes we do. We shine light on something, and sometimes we like what we see, and sometimes we don't like what we see. So it's like I was saying at the top of the hour, those of you that are just coming in, I want to welcome you to the program and also let you know that we have on today a world-renowned professional spirit medium and intuitive consultant, Denise Lisconso. She's well-known and widely respected for the groundbreaking and unprecedented work that she does with nonprofit grief support and addiction recovery groups. She's also the author of the recently published book, the messenger. And if you want to look up Denise's information or connect with her on the website, it's deniselescanso.com. And that we will also put the link in the chat room. Hello, Denise, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's great. Welcome, welcome. I've seen your tweets here and there flickering, so we've connected in the stream via chat, so it's great to kind of formally have a chat together. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, and I've been seeing your tweets, and Chad is just the great connector, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I love him. He's amazing. He is. And then just for the people that are listening auditorily, I want to just spell the website, because a lot of times people, actually I've gotten emails on that, you know. You always put it in the link in the chat room, but we want to look at it as well, although it's on the segment page. But for those that are listening via phone right now or listening later in the archives, it's deniselescanso.com, and that's DeniseLescano, so that you can get more information on Denise and her services. All righty. So how are you doing tonight, Denise?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I was just enjoying very much your explanations about how to find a good psychic and reputable psychics, and just I thought the way you explained it was really great. I was just enjoying
that. Thanks. So you want to add anything to that from your experience that might be helpful? Any thoughts that you had on that?
I think basically, you know, you really said it all, and I would just say to people to also keep in mind that with any profession, you have some people that are operating with a lot of integrity, and you have some that aren't, and then you also have people with varying degrees of ability, too, just like, you know, anything else. Some people are just a little more finely tuned than others, and I thought it was really important, too, that you said that you will, you know, people will connect with different intuitives differently because we're really working on different levels of energy. And I always use this to describe anybody that's a spiritual teacher. And you could even take this into the world of organized religion. You know, spiritual teachers teach to a classroom of people that are basically in the same spiritual awareness and consciousness that they are. And because this school, which is like Earth School, has many, many levels of grades, you know, one teacher may teach to metaphorically like a high school level, and somebody else is teaching to an elementary school level, and none is better or worse than the other. They're just different levels of awareness that we're all here to come and learn. So you'll naturally gravitate to those kind of teachers that you connect with.
Yeah. And, you know, you say something different levels of awareness, but and also different approaches. Not everybody I even look at it like, you know, I was like the personal trainer or something. Some people love being screamed at, you know, like like an army, okay? I don't. I'm not that, you know what I'm saying? But somebody, oh, God, they were great. They screamed at me and said, get off your butt and move and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, wow, that doesn't sound appealing, you know. But for some people, that's what they want. So I think sometimes it's knowing how you are, what you respond to. And some people, you know, and just what you were saying earlier, Denise, it's a different type of person. You know, they're doing it a certain way or a certain approach. You have to decide, are you not liking that person or that's what you're hearing? Sometimes I find it's the approach, right? Sometimes people tune out things because it's coming in a different package or a different approach that they're not used to or familiar with, or that they perhaps can't appreciate or don't like, you know?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, there's going to everybody has a cultural, national, religious bias, you know, that you're born into, that you grow up into, and it's going to color the way you view the world, even if you try to get out of that awareness. I mean, it's going to somewhat color it. And I always, you know, and I write about this in my book, that this is really just a giant school. And if you use the metaphor that this is like going away to a metaphorical 4 years away at college to study, you know, if we go to college, we're all going to major in all sorts of different things. But at the end, we're all going to have a college degree. So it doesn't mean if you major in anthropology, you're any better or any smarter than somebody that majors in mathematics or is an art major. You just choose different disciplines And you would visit different colleges and see which one, you know, fits your needs and your style of learning.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think that came from, this kind of parsing out what that one activity or focus or, you know, title in a sense or profession is better than another? We really got into this in this kind of Western culture. It's very, you know, Eastern, the Brahmin, that's the best of all. And the Brahmin does nothing but pray all day. You know what I mean? Or the monk, you know, they don't worry. But we really, do you have any thought of that, where that came from?
Well, I think that when you're here on Earth in school, that there's an overwhelming amount of fear, and people deal with that differently. And I think that when somebody believes that they're in a higher status, whether it's because of race or because of a religious belief or because they have money or culturally where they, what neighborhood they live in, I think that is just a way for people to feel more in control and mm-hmm. be higher in the food chain, because when you're lower in the food chain, you're more in sort of like a kill or be killed mentality, a survival mentality. And I think most people, you know, want to get out of that. But I think ultimately on an individual level, if you are caught up in that sort of thing, whether it has to do with the label on your clothes, the car you drive, or any of that stuff, that ego really is just masking really deep internal insecurity in most cases, I think.
Mm-hmm. So kind of, over-focus on the ego in a sense then.
The kind of really hide, you know, really senses of not being good enough. It usually comes down to a feeling of not being enough. So people kind of overcompensate. I mean, I don't think it's an accident that some of the most high-profile religious and political leaders in our country are usually the ones that are dethroned with the deepest, darkest secrets.
It's
like almost a paradox, the way that they mask that.
Yeah, I always say, don't preach it, don't teach it if you don't live it. Stay away. Stay away from it. But they don't. That's the shadow, you know.
And you know, we all have shadow. We all have it. None of us are immune to that. So that's where
No, and also in this. Absolutely. But on also the shadow, since it's what one doesn't necessarily recognize, it can also be some amazing gift that you're not seeing within yourself, you know, or amazing ability or a liking that you're seeing in someone else or projecting on someone else that you have within you as well, you know. So it can be something that's amazing to be discovered within you. Denise, would you tell us a little bit about your own unfolding, how you came to the path that you're on, and your awakening?
Well, and you know, my book is a lot about this journey that I've been on, and I will say I was a very reluctant psychic. I had no desire to be a professional psychic. I went to school and got training and owned businesses, and I was successful in, you know, kind of regular life. I can't, you know, I really don't ever remember having an awakening, because I really feel like I've always had awareness of spirit and my intuition from a very young age. My issue in life was not being able to express it, not being in a family that was supportive, you know, or even believed in it. So for that reason, for me, it was more about having the courage and the confidence to just kind of put that out there to people and not cover it up.
Which is an awakening.
I guess actually you're right. Was an awakening to just kind of to step out of that fear of judgment, I guess. And, you know, in my family, and I write about it in the book, my father was actually spent his adult life in a state mental health hospital. He was diagnosed as a schizophrenic for hearing voices. So I had a very, very real concern that if I told people, I might end up in the same place. And I have a very, very religious mother who thinks that this is, you know, kind of like the devil's work. So I had some serious, you know, real concerns. It was a little even more than judgment that that people would really, you know, think I was wacky. I didn't tell anybody till I was much, much older. But I was always aware of it. The only thing I think that's happened is as I've gotten older and had more experience working with it, you know, I have much more awareness of how it works and all of that, more of a deeper understanding.
Mm-hmm. So as you're being in touch or experiencing this part of you, this aspect of you, did you have thoughts of, oh, is this something similar to what my father went through?
You know,
did you right away have that? Or?
Well, it's interesting because he really was not part of my life. My mom and him separated when I was very young, around 4 or 5, and then he was hospitalized. So I didn't really even see him again until college and very briefly. So I didn't have a lot of experience of knowing him. And mm-hmm. as I got older, I really started to question whether he was really mentally ill or whether he had what I had. And I've spent my life questioning that. And he ended up getting out of the hospital and dying of suicide. So there's a lot of unanswered questions. But I also, I did go through a period in my life where my abilities really exploded and got very, very intense for a little while. And I remember kind of thinking to myself, ooh, maybe I am crazy. Maybe I'm a little crazy, you know. And
well, it does push you to the edge.
It does. It pushes you to the edge. The boundaries between reality get really fuzzy when things start really happening. And you know what? The only thing that helped me through that period was I did share my experiences with a few people, and I talk about this in the book, that were able to validate what I was getting. That's so important because through that validation, I realized this was not my imagination. I wasn't crazy. This wasn't in my head because other people were witnessing things and other people were validating the information I was receiving. And that was a crucial turning point for me.
That is huge. That's a really good point you bring up. That's why in any esoteric work or shamanic work, you always work with somebody. There's always... you know, or you'll pull somebody in or someone, you know, you'll find somebody to and I don't know if that's how it happened for you, but mentor you or say, yes, we went through this or this is happening too, or I'm going through this or I went through this. And it is very reassuring when you are able to connect with, you know, one or more people that are having that, you know, similar or same experience.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's interesting too when you mentioned of your father. I had a flash just of that I bet was very open, because a lot of times, especially schizophrenia, can be just their ego, their sense of self isn't strong enough. They're not rooted enough. We call it a bleed through. So you're getting all these impressions on the astral plane. Yeah, so it is kind of a fine line between that and being able to be, you know, a medium and consciously and be able to hold your own space of being, you know, without completely getting taken over or overwhelmed. It takes a strong, you know, healthy ego, you know, ego personality. But it's interesting, if he had a bit of that and then it seems like it passed, maybe he wasn't able to hold that space, that centering, but you were able to.
Well, it's interesting, and I don't talk really a lot about it in the book. I really barely touch on it, but he had a very dysfunctional, very really abusive, kind of horrible upbringing. Mine also had elements of, you know, pretty strong dysfunction and abuse and an alcoholic mother. But the difference, I think, was, you know, when you're a medium, you're connecting with spirit, but a medium is always in the driver's seat. I never relinquish control of my life or my free will or my thoughts to anybody in spirit, you know. And with a schizophrenic, I think what happens is really the spirits are more in the driver's seat. And for my father, his problem was he didn't have the strong sense of self that you're talking about. But he also, this is in the 1970s, in his early 20s, was experimenting with a lot of drugs. And I think that was a recipe for disaster. And then, you know, he ends up getting in a little bit of trouble, and what do? They put him in a state health hospital, and in the 70s, what they did to you then, especially he was in one for the criminally insane because he got into trouble, they pump you with a lot of antipsychotic drugs and give you shock therapy, and they lock you in a room. And, you know, I'm sure if you did that to me and you kept telling me I was crazy, that I would become very mentally ill. It would be impossible not to. So I think it's a combination of things. And I teach intuitive development. And like you said, we always work in pairs. So you're getting validation from someone else. But I am very, very strong with people that if you have a lot of this ability, and especially if you're practicing and working with it, to not drink and do drugs, or, you know, sometimes people think, oh, I'll smoke a little pot and then I'll, you know, do psychic work. And that is a really bad idea. I really always am very strong about that.
Yeah, no, it's very, very true. Yeah, I agree with you. Because you open to those lower level energies or entities, and you're not, your will center isn't as strong. Now, is this part of what, because you do work as well with grief support and addiction recovery groups. Is this part of your fulfillment, seeing this or knowing this, having this a bit of this in the background? Is that some of your interest?
You know, it's interesting because I just sort of spirit led me in that direction. I actually read for a lady privately who is involved in a group, and she told the group and they asked me to come, and that turned into me volunteering for 2 years every month. And I sit with nonprofit grief support groups that specialize in counseling people that have had sudden deaths, like car accidents, accidental overdoses, those sorts of things, homicides, suicides, and anything in between. And I've been doing this for 5 years, and it's very fulfilling and very rewarding. And I even have worked with addiction recovery groups because as a medical intuitive, I also get a lot of information regarding addiction. I didn't really pursue it, but the one thing that I felt really passionate about is I wanted people to see that there really are legitimate people doing what we do, and that it has a real value in the world. And I feel so fortunate. And the foreword of my book is three statements that are written by the counselors, some of the counselors that I've worked with. And I'm fortunate that I had people that were willing to put their reputations on the line as mental health counselors and their good name to allow me to work in these groups, because without them, the work wouldn't have been possible. And that work that I'm doing, which now is being featured in several different books, actually, it brings credibility to what all of us do. It takes it out of the back room of a little tarot card reading shop. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But it takes it into the mainstream, and people are starting to recognize that, you know, this is real. This is not just, you know, a bunch of woo woo.
Yeah, it's a good service. And when you do speak at these groups, do you often hear sometimes the participants or the listeners have a bit of this themselves or a connection to this?
Well, let me just clarify, too. I don't actually speak at the groups. I actually go in and read for them. So I sit.
Oh, you do? Okay. For the group or for individuals?
For the group. For the people in the group.
Okay, cool.
I will actually sit with six mothers who have lost children or six people who have lost somebody by suicide. And I actually go individually, one by one, in the group and read for each person and connect with the person that's deceased. That's exactly what I do. And I bring through messages, and the grief counselor and the addiction counselor is always present, so that whatever comes in, which a lot of times is information that wasn't known at the time of death, can be assimilated in the grief process. But yes, to answer your question, a lot of people that I talk to, and I'm sure you have the same experience being intuitive, people tell us all the time, normal everyday people, that they have experiences, that they see their loved ones standing at the foot of the bed. They hear them speaking their name. They have dreams about them. They won't tell other people because they're a little embarrassed or shy, but they will tell us. And, yes, I think it's overwhelming. I think way more people have experiences that admit in public. Absolutely.
Because I'm just thinking, as you know, as we were talking, for you doing this in that grief setting, in that process of loss that they're going through, and that cycle, that this is so important, because many times they do have loved ones visiting them and trying to get their attention, and sometimes they do think, I think I just saw my, you know, husband, or he came back to me, or my wife or daughter or son, whatever, or friend. So in a way, this is very validating, I would imagine, for them to have this.
It is, and a lot of times they will come through with very specific messages, you know, that the other day when their loved one was sitting there with their picture and playing this music, you know, that they were there and things to let them know. And in my book, besides the statements that are in the foreword that are written by the counselors, which are basically, you know, they're not so much about me, they're about the work that we do together, because I always say we do this together. I'm doing this with the counselors. But they talk about that. But there are several stories in the book that I highlight that came that actually happened during grief groups that one of the counselors in the foreword was there to witness. And I just got an amazing letter from one of the men. His story is in the book, and it's about him and his twin brother and a wallet. And he just posted a really nice letter on the blog, and I'm going to get it up there on the website somewhere soon. But yeah, it's very validating.
And what was...
I'm sorry.
And Denise, what was your impetus for the book? How did that come about that you just felt, was it over time, I need to put something down, I need to write this? How did this, the book, The Messenger, unfold for you?
You know, that's a good question, too, because I've wanted to write it for a long time, and it was like I had all these stories in my head, but I really couldn't figure out how to present it. And I really didn't want to write a story. I didn't want to write a book like every other psychic does, which is just kind of how it all works. I really wanted to write a story and through the story take you on a journey of things that spirits have taught me. I loosely fashioned it after like Scrooge, where Scrooge is visited by spirits and each spirit teaches him something really important that's about all of our lives. So what ends up triggering and giving me the inspiration for the story is the book starts with me in high school. And the reason I give a few glimpses into the characters of my high school life is because 25 years later, one of those people gets killed in a car accident. And after I lose touch with all my friends in high school, including a high school sweetheart, it's the high school sweetheart's brother that gets killed. And he comes to me in spirit, and he causes a chain of events to happen that reconnects me with all of those people. And that really gave me the way the story flowed. And then in between that, there's a lot of other spirits and stories that I tell you, you know, along the way. And everything in it is absolutely true. And the phenomenal thing about the forward statements is, and what I write, is each one of the counselors that I work with has 20 years of experience in their field. One worked for the state attorney's office in Collier County as a victim's advocate for two years. She was also the, she worked for Mothers Against Drunk Driving for 20 years. The other man does a suicide group for 20 years, and the AA sponsor, the AA facilitator, was actually the former chairman of AA here. So they're incredibly credible people, and although people may always doubt someone like me or you and our validity, nobody can ever doubt these people. I mean, they're impeccable, and their names are, you know, on the line for me, and I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I think it's what I call it getting out of the closet, because I think there's less doubt out there. I think it's just people, you know, not wanting to admit it, but I think it's getting less and less where people are saying, yeah, I believe in this, or I've had this experience, or I went to this person, you know, this psychic, this medium, and this and that happened. And I'm sure like you, I have a lot of people in the business field, even venture capitalists. I mean, people that are so mainstream and so, but I always say if you're accurate, they don't care if you're shaking a rattle in front of them. If what you're getting is ends up being accurate, and at the end of the day, people don't care, you know, and maybe like Light had said earlier in the chat room, I think before there was a stream, perhaps maybe not of as clear or ethical of channels, it just seemed like something very, like you said, Denise, woo-woo. It seemed very out there. But it is a really good tool, you know, whether it's for, you know, business or direction in life or, you know, the grief process or helping someone see where their issues are or connecting them with their loved ones or tuning in to help on a medical issue. It's so much, you know, it's a tool, I guess is how I see it. And I think more and more people on a mainstream level are kind of, you know, waking up to that, I guess, in a sense. I do have a question, Denise, we have in the chat is, when will your book be on Amazon? We have a question. So I guess someone went to look and wasn't available yet.
It should be in Amazon and all of the bookstores by the middle to the end of next week. You can actually order it if you wanted to order it right now by going to innercirclepublishing.com. Or if you go to my website, you'll see the book cover there on the homepage. If you click on that, it will take you to the publisher's website, and you can buy the book there now. And if you buy directly from the publisher, you'll get a signed copy. But it will be in Amazon literally any day now, I think probably by the middle to the end of next week.
Okay, so let's say by March at least, beginning of March?
Oh, way before that, yeah. I mean, sometime next week. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, any bookstore will be able to order it.
Okay. Or also your website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very cool. So we had that question.
And you can actually, let me just say too, when you click on that book cover on my website and you go to the publisher's page, you will see a little online book, and you can go and click on that, and you can read those forward statements that I was talking about from the counselors, and you'll get to read the first chapter of the book right there online.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. And the book is, of course, The Messenger, just released. Wonderful, wonderful title as well. We do have some callers. Are you up for questions?
Sure.
Okay. So let's, hello, 414-218, you're on Awakenings.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, am I allowed to ask a personal question?
Yeah, and who am I speaking with?
My name is Stefan.
Hi, Stefan. Welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Hi, Stefan. What's your question?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Doing great.
It's Friday, right? That's a good thing.
That's right.
Well, my question is regarding, I'm moving very soon and would love to know what do you see in regards to that, especially with my career.
Okay, first of all, are you currently right now going back to school, or am I seeing you going back to school in the near future?
Hopefully not.
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah, I see you going back to school for some continuing education. You already have a degree, is that right?
No, but I have 3 years of college, yeah.
Okay. I see you going back and finishing that, and I think that you really need to do that, actually. Do you work in business, like business and finance?
I have an online business I'm trying to get off the ground.
Okay. Does it have to do with, literally with the business of money, of finance, of, like, investing and that sort of thing?
Advertising, so yeah.
Okay.
There's a return on investment.
Are you
like
planning
that.
To move in about 6 months, like right around the beginning of the summer, June or July? Is that your time frame?
No, actually, Sunday.
Oh, you're moving Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're fast-forwarding me to about June or July time frame. Okay, I'm hearing this. I'm hearing you're going to make a much bigger move. Let me just ask you something. Are you right now just, are you moving to another town, another city, or are you just moving, into a new place within where you already live?
I'm moving to Florida.
Okay, because I see you moving to another town, another city, but then I'm seeing literally another move coming for you in the beginning of the summer.
Wow.
It's totally unanticipated. It's totally, you're not going to see it, and I'm going to tell you that the move is tied to an opportunity. You have a male friend who is going to give you an opportunity. They're going to say, hey, I've got a job for you. I've got work for you. Come over here and work with me in this business. So you don't know about it. You don't see it. It's not even on the radar screen yet.
That's interesting.
Are you moving to the east coast of Florida, right around like Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale?
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Actually, I'm moving to Palm Beach, West Palm Beach.
Okay. Okay, I think that maybe what I'm seeing too is I see a male friend there is going to get you involved in a business. I think that it actually may be connected with real estate and real estate sales or investing or something like that. And it's going to require you to do some travel too. And I also see he's going to give you an opportunity to move, to relocate. Because I almost see it as like a development project is going to open up, maybe another housing development, and they're going to want you to go there and like sell units. It's something along those lines. Do you have some friends down there that are doing real estate stuff?
No, not really. I never really been interested in real estate. Do you see music down there? My plan is to just do this job until my online business works out and focus on music.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't plan on working for somebody else for the rest of my life. That's just my plan.
Well, I'll tell you, life usually doesn't go according to plan, but I think that music will always be a part of your life. I got to tell you, I see it more as a background thing, honestly. I see this opportunity coming up that has to do with property and development, and you wouldn't be a real estate agent. You would be working for this guy, maybe the developer, but it's also very lucrative. It's going to be a really good opportunity to make some real money, and I think that is going to be appealing to you. Mm-hmm. But it's going to go well. Florida's going to go well for you. It's going to open up some new opportunities and some totally different directions. I do see you probably either in Fort Lauderdale or like Miami Beach, because I'm looking at real young, hip nightclubs, and I'm seeing you doing some DJ work too.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
In production, if I can jump in.
Yeah.
Get behind the scenes and produce.
Mm-hmm.
Produce, okay. Wow.
Stefan,
okay.
Be open. Be open. It's going to be good.
Is there any other messages from Spirit that I should be aware of?
I think, you know what, sweetie, but hang on, and then we've got other people to cycle through. If we have time, we'll come back. Okay?
I bet.
Okay, thanks for calling in. Bye. Mm-hmm. Going to the sunny sunshine state, right? Hello, 407-898. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hello?
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 Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Doing great.
Ladies.
And what's your name, please?
My name's Karen, and I'm calling from Florida.
Hi, Karen.
Oh.
Hi, Denise.
How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
What's your question today?
My question is, I was told a couple days back that I'm going to be let go sometime between April and June. And as you know, the job market here in Florida is really competitive, and unemployment's 12%. And my concern is, am I going to find another job shortly thereafter?
First of all, are you currently working in, like, telecommunications or cell phones or something like that?
No, I'm working in accounting.
You are an accountant?
I'm a project accountant for an engineering company.
Okay. Engineering. Okay, let me ask you, do they do engineering that has to do with, like, cell phones, telecom, phone lines, and that kind of stuff?
They do a lot of things, but they're closing down their business in Florida for the accounting staff.
Okay.
And they're relocating it to Fort Worth
and
hiring people in at a lower pay level.
Okay, what I'm just trying to establish is if I'm seeing the future or right now with the telecom stuff. That's what I want to know. Is the company you're working for now involved in that?
They are involved in that,
okay.
But not the division that I work for.
Okay, that's okay. I just want to know that that's where I am, that I'm in the present. Okay.
Wonderful. Does that help?
Yeah, you know, I don't see you having a real difficult time getting work.
Okay.
Well, I think that you should, I don't know if you're already doing this, but I'm seeing you online, or you should be if you're not, with resumes like with monster.com and those sorts of things, the local news online. But I'm hearing that you will, if you don't have a job, I think there's a very good chance that you'll have a job before you even leave your other job, if you're on the ball and you start getting stuff out there.
Yeah.
And I think that you're going to probably have about two or three different offers. There's a really strong, I'm getting a really strong link with education, not meaning that you're going to go back to school like the last caller, but that you may actually get a job in like a college or a university or some sort of a school, be an accountant for a school, because I'm seeing like accounts receivables and I'm looking at like a community college or something like that.
Actually, I was considering going back to school.
Oh, you are?
If I'm not working.
Well, I also see a job there too. So I would apply because maybe that's how you're gonna, you know, you'll get
pay
some pay
tuition
to go back to school too.
Yeah,
but I don't think you're going to have a hard time. I really don't. I see two or three different offers.
Okay.
And if you get your resumes out, you know, I would start looking right away since they're telling you it's going to happen. I think that you'll have a job before you even leave the other place. You might even leave early.
Okay, great. Thank
okay,
you
so one,
much.
Okay, one more quick thing I'm going to tell you. They're telling me to tell you to look in the banking sector also. Look specifically in education, like college and community colleges. And look in banking because they're telling me that there's some opportunities, you know, like Bank of America or something like that.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
And blessings to you both.
Blessings to you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay, hello, 705-515. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hello, Denise and Michelle.
Hello.
Hi.
And to whom are we speaking with?
You're speaking with Wendy from Canada.
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. I just have a, can I ask just for a general reading what you see coming up for me?
Better with a specific, right, Denise?
Oh, it's fine.
That's
I
either
can
way?
Do that. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said on your paper better specific. Okay. Maybe that was someone else. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Wendy, are you a single mom?
No, I'm not.
You're not. Are you pregnant?
No, I'm not. No.
Okay, let me ask you this. Did you ever lose a child or a baby?
Not that I've known of, no.
Well, I'll tell you what, I see a little boy with you, and I immediately felt like you were a single mom. So if you're not a single mom, I'm really seeing that likelihood very strong. If you don't want to be a single mom, I would say, you know, be really careful. But okay. Were you involved? They're telling me that you've recently... kind of recently, maybe in the last 6 months, maybe to a year, you ended a pretty serious relationship.
Well,
like a 2 or 3 year long-term relationship. And then I kind of feel like it was sort of on and off, and maybe you lived together for a little while and separated, or there's a lot of movement.
This man I've been seeing since March of last year, it's been on and off.
Okay.
We didn't live together, no.
Was there talk about moving in and then not moving in? And, like, I see this back and forth about moving in together.
No, he's just been back and forth, like, in the relationship.
Okay.
And confuses me, like, I don't know how he feels. And
is this also a little bit long distance?
No, we live in the same town.
You live in the same town?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm hearing he's in and out of town a lot. Does he travel for work?
No, he's been looking for work for the last year now.
Okay.
He's been out of work. I know he's very frustrated about that.
Well, I mean, the biggest obstacle you have with that relationship right now is he's just not in a place to... you know, to really be able to commit to and give you what you want, because he's just kind of all over the place. It's interesting. I tell you, I see him, like, in and out of town. So either he's going to get a job where he's going to be in and out of town traveling, or I'm literally seeing him looking at other places for work. I'm seeing him maybe looking and exploring other towns or cities, because I think that, well, I'm pretty certain that there's going to come a point where he's going to have to make a decision about moving for work. I feel like he's going to have to move for work or move to look for work. And that is going to be the pinnacle point of whether your relationship with him stays or splits. Yeah, I tell you, and then I get this feeling of like, well, should we live together? Should we not live together? should we try to make this work? But I got to tell you, I'm feeling like it's going to be really hard to do that because he's so unsettled. You're in two different places in your life. I feel like you would really probably like to settle down and start to have a relationship, but he's just kind of all over the place.
Yeah, he is.
And that's really nobody's fault. You know, it's just where he is in his life right now. And I think, like, the one thing I'm hearing is you're asking him to give you something that he just cannot give you right now. He doesn't have it to give you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not about you. It's not that he doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. But you're asking him to be somebody that he can't be right now or to give you things of himself that he hasn't even gotten straight himself, you know?
So he does care about me?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think that he does care about you. But I got to say, I don't think you're the top priority because his priority right now, all of his energy is focused in getting work. And I keep seeing his head is like in and out of town. I believe that he must either be applying, he must be applying for jobs in other places because
right.
I keep seeing like, and I see three different places, cords going into those places, meaning he's looking in other towns to move or he may get job offers or he's applying, you know, in other places.
Okay.
He's still not going to know, too. You got, like, probably another 6 months to a year before he really figures out what he's doing.
Okay.
Perfect. Hang in there.
Okay,
be okay.
Sometimes
yeah,
it'll
be okay.
Sometimes it's about timing, you know? Sometimes it's just timing, and all you can do is just kind of wait and see what happens. But I will give you one little word. I think if you pull on him or you really pressure him, that's going to be the wrong way to go. I would just try to be patient and be supportive. And if you're supportive while he works this out, then I think that, you know, you might be able to work it out together. But I would not pressure him to do something that he just can't do right now.
Right.
Focus on you. You and your creativity, okay? That'll
okay.
help you through this. All right.
Okay.
Peace and blessings. Bye.
Unfortunately,
so
many people are going through that right now. You know, I think that's a big
issue.
It's
a big one right
now. A
lot
of couples right now, and it's very hard, and I think the temptation.
Big shift.
Yeah, and the temptation is to make it be about the other person, and we focus our frustration on the other person, and really it's just these changing times, and I think if you really care about somebody, you want to make it work, you have to just be patient and kind of, you know, really let things play out sometimes. It's just hard. It's a hard time for a lot of people in her position right now.
Yeah, you got to bring the focus back to yourself. We have a Skype caller here, I believe, or a private number, caller number two. So I don't have any way of identifying you. So as I'm speaking, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great. And who is this?
This is Sherry from California.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Welcome to the program. Did you have
Thank
a question
you,
for a guest today? Did you have a question or comment for Denise?
Yeah. Uh-huh. My question is, do you see, do I going to meet any significant one this year? And do you see the marriage for me next year?
If you're going to meet somebody and if you're going to get married, is that the question?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Okay. First of all, do you have your own business? Or you work in a family business, first of all?
No.
No. I see there's already a man around you that I'm seeing is interested in you. And he has some sort of a little small mom-and-pop business, family business. And I see him interested in you, but I don't see you very interested in him. He's close to your age, maybe 4 or 5 years older than you. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
I literally think his family may have something to do with textiles. He either works with clothing or sells clothing or has a cleaning business or something to do with clothing because I'm seeing, like, clothes hanging on hangers.
No, I don't know this person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, maybe you're going to be meeting them.
I gotta stick with what I'm feeling. I really feel like he's around you now, okay? And maybe he's just not on the radar screen because I don't feel like you're very interested in him. But I know he is very interested in you, and he's somewhere like, you know, kind of sort of around you, maybe in an acquaintance scenario, or he, you know him through a friend or something like that. Kind of a small kind of guy. Because one thing I'm hearing is like you're looking in the wrong places for men. And I don't mean literally like building. I mean you're kind of looking, you're looking for the wrong things, or you're looking in the wrong places. This man that's around you that's very interested in you, there's something about him that doesn't fit into what you think he should be, I think. So it's closing off some possibilities for you. Are you specifically looking for somebody that's kind of financially well off and doing really well, somebody that's going to be a real, you know, be able to take care of you kind of man? Because I'm kind of getting that.
Actually, I already met someone, you know, 2 years ago. But you know, for a complicated reason, we stopped, you know, contact each other now. But I still like him. Do you think this guy gonna come back to me?
Does he sound like the guy I'm describing?
No.
Well, I'm hearing that there's opportunities all around you, but you have to open your eyes to them. Like, I feel like you're focused on a very specific type of person. So, and there's
right.
other people that could be really good for you with really sincere, nice men, but you're like dismissing them because they don't come in the packaging you want, or they don't have the status that you want, or there's something there about externals that's not fitting into what you want, because I'm feeling, you know, that there is energy of men around you, but it's like you're completely missing the ones that are interested in you. The man that's in your past, when you were with him, was one of you married? I'm hearing one of you was married.
Yeah.
Was it him or was it you? Was it him?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was an issue. And he's still married, isn't he?
Right.
Yeah.
He's going to divorce.
I don't think that... I'm sorry, he's divorced?
He's going to divorce.
He's going to divorce. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, the other side says so.
Well, I don't. I'm going to disagree. I don't see him divorcing, and I see him still very much married and in that situation. And I also see that very much in your past. So I would have to say I don't see him coming back in your life. But I'm just going to say again, there's one particular man around you that I really see, but there's some nice men around you if you would be willing to kind of date outside of your usual box that you like to date within, if that makes sense to you. Kind of open your horizons a little.
Okay.
The opportunity's there. There's no block to that. You know, the opportunity's there. You just have to kind of open your vision a little bit to allow that to happen.
Beautiful. I love that. Open your vision a little bit. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much for reading. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. The little theme here, open the vision. I like that. We have one more. Let's see. This is 941761. You're on Awakenings.
Yes, hi. Beautiful show, and I think you have a wonderful tool there. I just have a question for you. I don't know if you can help me out, clarify that issue. You know.
And your name, please.
My name is Michael. Michael.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hi,
welcome
Michael.
To the program.
Hi, dear lady. And basically, what I want to know is that. There is, you know, how many of the mediums have predicted things like, you know, like Haiti or 9/11 or the demise of the economy or what happened to Tiger Woods, just bad stuff or even good stuff that happens. I understand that it's a beautiful, inspired tool, and I think it's good because people want to hear and see themselves as spirits. But, you know, one thing that we'll not know is the tomorrow. None of us know it. We all want to hear it. And I want to know, basically, where you think that is. I mean, why, I mean, obviously, why, to clarify the question, why people, how many people, if you know any, that ever predicted any of those things, or questions like what's going to happen to the economy the next month, what kind of decisions Obama will take, what do you see in the future of Obama, you know stuff that really...
Well, I can actually tell you, there are people that have predicted the economy, and I'm actually one of them, in 2008, in the spring of 2008. So there are people that have... There's hundreds, thousands, millions, I don't know, psychic intuitives and mediums, and so everyone has their area. It just depends what comes in, under
Haiti,
their radar.
Haiti,
what
the,
Haiti, what
the Chumani. The
tsunami,
or,
yes. Yes, there are people that have.
So what percentage do you say out of all these mediums got up and say, hey, let's run... Or communicate to the world? How what percentage do you think of all these millions of mediums?
You know, I think what it is, you have to open your vision a little bit. You have to, like Denise said a minute ago, you know,
vision, imagination, inspirational awareness, time traveling, all those things are wonderful. But anyway, it's a great tool.
Let me answer that real quick. Because you brought up a couple really good... Okay, a couple good points. One, I have predicted some things. There's a blog on my blogs about the economy way before the stock market crashed, with the date you can read. But here's a really important point, and I've dreamt about tsunamis and things happening, but you have to understand there's a lot of misunderstanding about predicting the future. First of all, what psychics see when they look in the future are probabilities and opportunities. Most things in the future are not set in stone because our free will and our choice affects the future.
What about
accidents?
And
we come here to learn and to grow, okay? We don't come here, if we come here to learn and grow and go to school, the spirit world's not going to give us the answer to everything. We don't come here to party and have a great time and life is perfect.
Sure.
So many times, our souls go through difficult experiences like the economy or Haiti because there is some growth that a large group of people, a large group of souls, a lesson that they're going through. Even if I say, okay, I know this is going to happen with the economy, which you can read my blog because I talk about that, who's going to listen to me? I work with law enforcement all the time, and they're very reluctant to listen to a psychic. People stand up all the time, even politicians, and occasionally they say the truth and they say it the way they see it, and if people don't want to hear it, they don't listen.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you that we all like to hear what we like to hear. Mm-hmm. Some people like to listen to Deborah Chopra, some people to Anthony Robbins, some people to Obama, some people to Rush Limbaugh.
Remember back in 1994, I saw this with the economy and even saw that people would be trading. And at the time, I had a lot of stockbrokers and traders as clients. That's another thing. You'll tend to get what is in your sphere, what we call sphere of influence, so what you're around. And I saw that these seats, I think it was $800,000 seats, the trading seats, I saw that those would be no more, that those would actually be worth nothing. And then I also saw that everyday people would be trading and also trading by computer. I had people laughing at me and saying there's no way that you could trade by computer because it wasn't in real time and there would be too many errors. So,
we can look at it through logic also. You can say, hey, we're going to screw up. We're going the wrong way down. We really want to look at reality, and we want to buy dreams. Everybody bought dreams that I'm going to buy my dream house. I can afford it. And then in question, how can they pay it? You see, reality is not inspirational. We like to trust, to have faith, to have hope, and it's good, but when you use your brain, when you go to that doctor and tells you something, you want to have faith in that doctor, but also you got to look and think and question what kind of prescription it goes. You know, a lot of people, they're into hoping.
Well, I think, you know what, you're bringing up a good point, and then we got to go because we do have another person on, another caller. But it's a balance. It's logic and reason and intuition. Absolutely. And everybody has a sixth sense. So it's a combination of that. I mean, if you live by one or the other too much, you're going to be imbalanced, right?
That's
and
right.
not get anything done.
That's right.
So you bring up. Thank you for bringing up.
Thank you. Thank you.
Point.
And you're doing a good job anyway. And I just want to say that the balance is needed. And you said it again. And enjoy your show.
Yeah.
And I know
healthy
you're doing a good
skepticism.
Job.
Healthy skepticism.
Absolutely.
Right?
Look.
Be
absolutely.
Balanced.
That's what it is. I have written a lot of books. Also, I give international seminars in Greek islands. And one of my books is in Greek. It's called I don't want to go into it, but it tells you that the ultimate it is to be able to blend both. Inspirational with rational, dreaming with thinking, and there is and a lot of people go to the edges. You know, they're too rational. If you're too rational, your spirit will die. If you're too dreamer, and then you're going to get cut also. And a lot of people, we all want to see ourselves as spirit. I believe in spirit. I do believe there is a magical, mystical, ever-evolving universe out there. There is so many possibilities that we cannot see. So I am positive in a lot of ways, but also you got to use your brain. And I see a lot of people out there that did. Anyway, enjoy your show.
Here's the deal. Keep your feet on the ground and your head in the clouds.
Exactly. Man, that's great. That's what it is. Anyway,
have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for your.
You're welcome.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. That's a good. Balance is key. So we've got one more caller here, and it's another Skype or private call. So if you hear me, you're on the program. You're on Awakening.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
To whom are we speaking with?
Ross.
Hi, Ross. You're
Hi,
on the
Ross.
Program. Did you have a question or comment?
I had a question and I had a comment. Can I have one of each?
Why not? Go for it.
My question was that I received a lot of messages to relocate to a whole different part of the country, to a whole different area. I followed those messages. They feel correct. Being where I am now feels correct. But I feel like I might be missing something because I'm here now, but I'm not sure how my vocation is supposed to unfold now that I'm here. And I wondered if Denise got anything from the other side as guidance or direction about that?
First of all, I got to ask you if you live either near the beach or on an island or somewhere, or do you surf? Because I'm seeing all these images of the ocean and surfing.
I left the ocean.
You
left
the ocean. Okay.
I left the ocean and I moved to the desert.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I moved from the coast of New England to Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, I see. Okay. And did you surf? Did you surf a little bit? Were you ever a surfer?
No.
No?
No. 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 At least not physically.
Okay. First of all, I think you're a very metaphysical, spiritual person. And I'm getting you pursuing all kinds of just like a really wide variety of sort of metaphysical, spiritual pursuits, reading a lot of different things. I think that you write, too. Aren't you a writer?
Yes.
You are a writer. Do you write for like columns, like newspaper or articles and things like that? Have you done that in the past?
Yep, I've done some of that.
But you also write books. I know you write books, but I'm also seeing you, like, working as, like, a columnist or something like that. And this career that you're talking about, is that also revolving around your writing? Are you doing that now?
I'm doing some writing now, and that's part of my question, which is, now that I'm here, I'm looking to see what I should be pursuing, because there's so many different things I could pursue.
Okay,
and that's
let me
why
just
I was
say, before you go too far, just because I like to not interrupt my what I'm getting,
coaching
is coming really strong to me, coaching other people. And I think that you have a couple of different, I mean, I think you've acquired a certain amount of skills that you could coach people, but like literally coaching in different areas. I've got to also ask you, you've got a pretty strong athletic energy. Have you been a bicyclist or a runner or something as well?
I've been athletic at various times in my past, and part of me moving here, I was hoping to become more athletic again, actually. That one of the things that would happen.
Yeah, because I see you cycling. I mean, I don't think like you're a professional athlete or anything like that, but I see you cycling, and I see you, you know, maybe in the past running or hiking or something like that. I'm getting a lot of energy around that. I think that you should get back into that. When you're cycling or when you're outside running, it seems to be just really good and balancing for your mind-body connection. It clears your head out. I think a lot of what's going on with you, what I'm hearing right now, is you're like so much in your head and you're going round and round in your head that you're getting confused. And I think it would do you a ton of good to just get out and go on a long bicycle ride, get out in nature, clear your head, do something kind of a little bit physical. And I think you're going to start getting inspiration. But you're extremely creative, so whatever you do has to revolve around that. You're never going to be happy just going and getting some sort of like mundane, repetitious job. Your existence revolves around your creativity. Writing is a huge part of that. But also, I'm just hearing very strongly coaching and mentoring is in your future. So I think that that may involve writing books in that area, helping other people to achieve some of the things that you've already achieved. Because I do also get a feeling that you've achieved a pretty good amount of success in your life, personally and also, you know, financially. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've done okay.
Yeah.
I've done okay, and I've
so
followed a lot
others.
Of...
You've got a lot of entrepreneurial energy, too, and you could also help others that are entrepreneurs.
Okay. So coaching, entrepreneurial, work at the writing, and do more physical activity to align the body-mind connection.
Well, I think that you just getting out of your head, away from your computer, out of your – you have a home office? You work from home?
Yes.
Yeah, because I see you there on your computer all the time. Get out of there. Get out of there. Go walk around. Go take, you know, a 30-minute, an hour bike ride, because the only reason I'm telling you to do that is you're going to start your head is going to clear out, and you're going to start getting inspiration. It's like – I feel like it's like the inspiration is literally right on the tip of your tongue. But you've got so much clutter in your head right now, it's kind of blocking that. That's why I want you to go out and get outdoors and do, you know, do bicycling is what I keep seeing you doing. But I think you're going to get some inspiration. But I see you kind of moving in this coaching, mentoring, maybe writing books along the lines of self-help. There's that whole entrepreneurial kind of undertone, so it may be geared towards business people or finance or I don't know. You could go in a lot of different directions. But I know that that's a really strong theme in your future, if that makes sense.
Well, it's been a strong theme in my past. So
now it's kind of like apply what you've learned. Take everything that you've learned, this whole body of knowledge, and figure out how to compile it into information to help other people. When you figure out how to do that, then you're going to be with your foot into the future. Because you may do a combination of things like write books, do seminars, do, you know, webcasts, video clips, all kinds of stuff. But it's kind of like I see all these elements of what you've been doing coming together, compiling a whole body of information and work that you're moving into the future with, but it revolves around coaching and mentoring other people.
Okay.
And what was your comment?
Well, my comment was kind of, it was a comment towards some of the other callers' comments, which is, you know, there are lots of people out there with varying psychic degrees, and I like part of what you said, and I say it very often myself, you know, the future's not in granite, and when somebody is using their psychic abilities in an empowering way, they're giving people information with which to make better decisions, which has to be combined with all of the other pieces of information. There were certainly tons of people who got information about all of the things he mentioned. If you scatter around the web and you hunt for them, you find them. And then there are people out there that simply, you know, it's very hard. You know, psychic abilities don't always come in clearly. You know, every psychic I've ever met says, gee, I wished it would come in on a reader board. You know, like a big billboard pops up in my head and hears exactly from the lips of God, but it doesn't work that way. And I think it's
like anything else in life, that there, the wisdom is, some things do come in very exact, but not always. So it's knowing whether something is a destiny issue, if it's something that you have free will choice in, that you can delay it, forestall it, and then there are things that you don't have to have happen. You know, I sometimes things are coming in for you, and actually that person might not even be ready for it, and it's, in a sense, enacted or given to someone else. So the wisdom is knowing which is it. Is it destiny? And is it destiny forestalled or delayed, or is it something that you do have free will choice on? And that's a whole other topic, because it gets into the soul, the soul's blueprint and the soul purpose. So anyway, Ross, great that you called in. Thank you for sharing your wonderful energy with us.
And a great
appreciate
comment, by the way. Very, very good insight. I agree with.
Very astute. All right. Take good care.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
You too. Wonderful energy. And one more. We have 262-498. You're on the program. Welcome to Awakenings.
Well, hello. Welcome. Thank you.
Hello.
I'm calling. I guess I'm wondering, for me, the last...
And who is it? Your name, please?
Myra.
So we can connect. Myra?
Hi, Myra.
Yeah. Hi, Myra. Hi.
I'm wondering, the last year or so has been very chaotic in just about every aspect of life, and it seems to be starting to get a little control again and kind of looking for a little direction as to, I have several priorities, all of which need to be reorganized, but which way I should be focusing maybe, or if there's some message that I'm not getting.
Myra, I will try to get to that in a second, but I've got something else coming through to me. And first I want to know, is your mom passed over?
Nope, mom's still here.
Mom's still alive. Okay, then I have your mother's mother, and she's talking about either you or your mother having a problem right now with your lungs. Is one of you having a problem with your lungs, like reoccurring pneumonia or some kind of emphysema or something with the lung?
Not at all.
Neither one of you are. Did your grandmother have a problem with emphysema or pneumonia over and over?
No. No.
Okay.
I'm trying to think who that could possibly be.
Are you a smoker by chance?
No, never.
You're not a smoker, and your mom's not either?
No. Now, my mother-in-law, she passed, 10, 12 years ago.
It's your mother-in-law. Remember I said, is your mother passed? I should have said this. It says this on my website. They don't always tell me if they're a mother or a mother-in-law or a stepmother. The mother mother-in-law that's passed, was she having problems with her lungs? Pneumonia or emphysema or something like that?
One reoccurring problem. She had a variety of health issues at the end.
She did have a reoccurring problem with the lungs.
Oh, yeah, a lot of difficulty breathing. She had been a smoker for years and then
quit. Okay, thank you. That's what I want to hear. I've got your mother-in-law here. That's what I was trying to get to. I thought she was your mother. I didn't realize she was your mother-in-law.
I would love to hear what she'd have to say about everything going on. That would be incredible.
Okay. Now that we've figured out who she is, okay. She's telling me to tell you that, okay, first of all, she wants me to say her husband is also there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because she wants me to tell you he's there too. But she's saying, because he's saying hi. You're not totally out of the woods yet. It's still... she says it to me this way, okay? Imagine you're in a boat, and there's on one side of the ocean, there's this huge storm whipping up like a hurricane, and on the other side, when you look the other way, you see this safe harbor, and it's very calm. you're no longer in the storm. The good news is you are coming out of that big hurricane, and you are heading in the direction of the safe harbor. But where you are right now, the seas are still a little bit choppy because you're kind of in this transitional place.
Yep.
So she's saying there's like a couple of bumps in the road. Your finances especially still seem to be a little bit kind of like touch and go, rocky, almost as if you're living kind of like week to week or month to month. And it's still going to be that way for a little bit longer. But the good news is the worst of it is behind you. I don't see any major huge things coming up, but I see like little, you know, little things that are going to kind of stress you out here and there. Stuff like you only had so much money this week and, you know, your car breaks down, like little stuff like that, but nothing that's going to put you over the edge into devastation. You know what I'm saying?
I do, but it's confusing because money really isn't an issue. It is for her son. Her son and I are no longer married.
Oh, she's talking about her son.
Yeah.
But you're not with him. Does his finances affect you in any way? Or you're
A little bit.
Okay, because... No,
a little bit.
No,
just as things.
Well, she's telling me though that this is also about you, and I don't know if he pays you support or alimony, or he pays some of the bills or anything like that.
No, not at all. I'm completely on my own and okay. Unless something's going to happen, I don't know about. But
yeah,
I know that his situation is very rough.
She's telling me this is really about you. Little. There's just like little unexpected things kind of stresses. They definitely feel like they're around money to me.
Okay.
I don't know if it's residual and connected to her son, but she's saying, yeah, that's neither here or there. She's really trying to clue you in.
Okay. Well, that would be good. Her and I were always very close.
Mm-hmm. And what was your specific question? You had a specific question about something?
Well, it had more to do with just all the changes and trying to figure out some priorities, I guess, where the energy should be focused.
You have a daughter also?
No.
Okay. Why do I see, is there a female that comes and lives with you sometimes and leaves, like a niece or somebody?
No, not at all, no.
Okay, I'm seeing a female... Does your ex-husband have a daughter by another person that she's trying to talk about?
Not that I know of.
Okay. She's showing me a female that she says comes to live with you from time to time, but she's younger than you.
Okay. Yeah, not with me at all. It's never happened.
Did you live in and out of her house? Could I be interpreting that wrong? Did you go in and out and stay with her a few times?
No.
Okay, well, she's talking about somebody that's like either a late teen or an early 20-year-old girl, and she's like in and out of the house. Do you have a sister? Could this be a niece to you? No?
No other. That's probably my ex's girlfriend.
Your ex's. Okay, maybe that's what she's talking about. Going
maybe you're
out
picking
of the
up on him since mother-in-law.
Could be.
We've got just a minute left, so we're going to be winding out. Maybe you two can connect on your website, Denise Lascano.com.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry about that. I don't know if I really answered your question. The only thing I really got an answer to your question is, you know, it's going to get more calm. You're just not quite there yet.
Okay.
And you can kind of think on the young person. I don't know if the ex's girlfriend is that young, but I just keep seeing this young. Oh, she is. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Is.
Yeah.
Much younger. Okay, well, then maybe that's what I'm saying, because I was almost thinking, you know, like a daughter or a niece. But
yeah, that would be more appropriate,
Oh, okay. All right, so.
There you go. You never know. See, thank you for calling in. We've got to wrap up here just a little bit, so. Appreciate the call. Appreciate all the callers and all the listeners in the chat as well. And Denise, thank you so much for being on the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And I really enjoy your show. And thank you for being, you know, a great light and getting some really good information out there about what we all do.
Thanks, Denise. And again, just if you give your website again so people can connect with you for your services and also to if they want to get your book, The Messenger.
Yep, it's deniselescano.com, and it's deniselescano.com. And my book is through Inner Circle Publishing, but you can go ahead and go to my website. You'll see the book there, and you just click on it, and it will take you to the publisher's page where you can either purchase it or just give it a read if you want to check it out.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Appreciate
Thanks
you being
Thanks so much for having me on. I really am grateful, and you have a lovely weekend.
You too. And thank you, listener participants, for tuning in to Awakenings, which airs every Wednesday and Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time. And as always, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and keep awake.